1 Kings chapter 2. In your Bibles, if you would. 1 Kings chapter 2. We'll read two verses if you're able to. Stand with me in honor of God's word. 1 Kings chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 and 2. Now again, all three messages today are messages that directly are applied to husbands, dads, for sure. But I don't want anybody to feel like that they can check out, because every single one of these practical truths apply to all of us, and no matter what role we play in life. All right, so 1 Kings chapter 2, just two verses. We will be using the Word of God a lot this morning, and so be willing and ready to turn your Bibles to different places. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore." And would you read these words with me, just the last part of the verse, ready to begin. "And show thyself a man." Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for your word. Lord, I do pray that you would help us as we get into it this morning. Lord, first of all, help me. I want to preach your word. I truly do. I desire to just say what you once said. I want to be out of the way. I really don't want to interfere with what you desire to accomplish today. So I just want to be a vessel. Lord, use your word. Help me to be true to it. Lord, help me to have liberty as well. Open our hearts, no matter who we are. Yes, it's Father's Day. I'm thankful for the men. But Lord, I pray that you would help all of us, no matter what role we play in life, to apply the truths that are revealed to us by your word today to our lives, and that we might be a changed people, that we'd honor you in everything that's said and done. Lord, I thank you for who's here, and I believe that we have people here this morning who want to please you and who don't want to waste time in your house today. But Lord, that we would just receive what you have for us and be different people than when we came in. I pray these things in your holy precious name. Thank you so much for being seated. So last week was my birthday. I turned 46 years old, and I have an agreement. Some of you might be like this. I kind of have an unwritten agreement with my siblings now that some of us have kids. It's been this way for a long time now. Our oldest daughter's 20 years old, and my sister, her oldest daughter is good handful of years older than Chloe, and then I have a couple other sisters and a couple brothers. Some of them are half sisters, half brothers, but there's seven of us all together. And so it's pretty expensive to buy Christmas gifts for everybody's kids and everybody, right? And so we just had this agreement. You know, I don't even know what the Christmas agreement is. Do we do anything for anybody? I don't know. My wife is the one that handles those things, but I know this. We agreed we're going to stop buying each other birthday presents, you know, with my immediate brothers and sisters. Well, my brother, he's the one that's got all the money, right? So it's nothing for him to do that. So yesterday, it's a little late, but, you know, we celebrated birthday with my mom yesterday, and my brother sent a gift. It's a Rigid. I have Rigid tools. I like Rigid, and I like them mainly because they have a replacement warranty. When they go bad, if you register them in time, you can get pretty much everything Rigid replaced. And so I like those. They're the orange and gray tools, if you've seen any, use those. How many of you like Rigid? How many of you know Rigid? How many are DeWalt men? DeWalt men? All right. How about Milwaukee? Milwaukee's good. Okay. I can't afford them, but they're good. Craftsman. Okay. How many of you have a combination of a bunch of them? Okay, Ryobi. What am I missing, Brother Dwayne? You're not raising your hand. He just uses whatever works. I mean, what did you say? What did you say, Brother James? Or Patrick? Huh? Snap-on. Okay, so if you, yeah, Brother Glenn says amen to that, right? Snap-on. There's a bunch of them. I'm into Rigid now. And so he got me a Rigid battery-operated circular saw. It's a great tool. And it had a charger and a battery. And it was like a buy one, get one free. So those batteries by themselves are expensive. And he spent some money on this. So my first reaction is, why? I mean, it makes me feel bad. I don't buy anything for him. I can't buy anything for him. Two, I already have that. So if you're going to spend money on me, you're getting something I don't have. No, I'm kidding. But so I let him know. He said, just take it back to Home Depot. And I took it back, and I got an in-store credit. So I haven't figured out what I'm going to get yet with it. You know, there's this battle, I guess, amongst men and some women too, which is the best, you know, tool to use, right? All right, let's do some other comparisons. Coke or Pepsi? How many Coke people in here? Raise your hand. Pepsi people. Pepsi? All right. How about at Wendy's? Chocolate Frosty or Vanilla Frosty? All right, listen, I'm just going to tell you. Okay, Chocolate Frosty. Anybody like that? Vanilla Frosty. Okay, if it's a Vanilla Frosty, it's not a Frosty. Can I get an amen? All right. It's good. It's good. It's just not a Frosty. It's just not a Frosty. But it is good. But when I order it, I say, I want one of those vanilla things. You mean a Vanilla Frosty? No, it's not a Frosty. I just want one of those vanilla things, right? If I say Frosty, I mean chocolate. All right. My brother and I used to always have these battles, these competitions. Like I said, he just bought me this. And so we have a good relationship now. It wasn't always that way. In fact, for a long time, it wasn't that way. He's 3 years older than me. When I was in eighth grade, I was 5'2", 5'3". When he was in eighth grade, he was 6'1". And so he was already just way bigger than me. He's still 6'1". I'm 6'4 now. he's still 6'1". But, I mean, he always beat up on me. And one phrase he would always use, man up. Man up, Tad. And, of course, my name has to be Tad. It was my mom. She's right here. My name has to be Tad. So, I mean, you get a lot of things that you're made fun of with that name. You know, just a Tad. Just a little Tad. Tadpole. I hated that one right there. So he would always just pick on me that way. And I was perfect. I was innocent. I did everything right. And my brother would just pick on me all the time. That's my side of the story anyways. And I didn't instigate a thing. I didn't deserve. I don't know how that chocolate milkshake ended up in his face. But I didn't deserve anything. But we didn't always get along. But I'll never forget. He always said, man up. Man up, man up. Somebody once said this, the mind is the citadel of a man's life. And from this powerful engine, our wills determine where we are driven. This morning in the Sunday School Hour, we talked about a man's walk. And now the title of the message is the man's will. The man's will. My brother and I were often at odds with each other. I'll never forget one time. He picked me up. He suplexed me. He lifted me up above his head, and he threw me down. Very abusive, brother. I don't ask me what I did to deserve it. I'm sure I did something to deserve it. But anyways, he just threw me down. Well, he intended to throw me down on the ground, on the floor in the living room, not thinking about the coffee table right there. And so my shin hit the edge of the coffee table, and that hurt really, really bad. I'll never forget that to this day. We are always at odds with each other. You know, here's something that we've got to realize as Christians. By nature, we are at odds with our Creator. We don't like to admit that. But by nature, we are. Even as Adam proved in the Garden of Eden, we also are prone to rebel against a loving God. We'll develop that here in a little bit, but it's true. If we weren't at odds with God, then we would have no problem following God's word. Are you with me? We would have no problem obeying God. We'd have no problem doing what it is that God wants us to do if we were not at odds by nature. By nature, we're not at odds with God. If you've ever done anything for the Lord that honors God, praise the Lord for that. That's awesome. But it's not because of you. And if there's anything I've ever done for God, it's not because of me and my ability that anything's been done for the Lord. It's only because of His grace and His mercy and Him working through me that I've accomplished anything for God. For without Him, we can do what? Nothing. For without Him, we can do nothing. Now, I'm thankful for verses like Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, that I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengtheneth me. I can't do it without Him, and neither can you. And we are by nature at odds with Him. And the only road, listen, men, this morning, the only road to becoming a man of God is the path of a surrendered life and a surrendered will to which we can make right choices. And the only way that any Christian, forget the men, let's just include everybody, the only way that you will ever walk that road of becoming a godly individual or a person that pleases God is going to be when you walk the road of surrender. Even decisions that seem small and unimportant are going to impact our lives. I mean, you talk about going a certain route to a job. That route may keep you from getting bogged down in traffic. That route may help you avoid a traffic accident down the road. Every decision affects something to follow. And every decision we make affects our lives spiritually as well. Go to Joshua 24, if you would. Save your place in 1 Kings. We'll come back there in a minute. Joshua chapter 24, please, in your Bibles. The Bible is filled with challenges to God's people to choose wisely. For example, Joshua called out to the people of Israel. In Joshua chapter 24, and look at verse 14. It says there, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," would you read these words with me? Ready, begin. "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, what is to say? We will serve the Lord." And look what the people answered. They said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." That's a good answer. Go to 1 Kings 18, please. Our text is in 1 Kings 2. Go to 1 Kings 18. The Bible is filled with challenges. Choose wisely. Choose God. 1 Kings 18, we find Elijah on Mount Carmel crying out to God's people. If you're saved this morning, say amen. This same cry is crying out to you. If you're saved, you're God's chosen people. You're God's child. 1 Kings 18, verse 21 says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions?" Make up your mind, in other words. If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. There are calls throughout the Word of God to individuals as well as groups. If you can turn there quickly, go ahead. If not, just jot this down. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren." So those first two passages we looked at, that was a call to groups of people. Joshua called out to the people of Israel and said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And then in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah called out to the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? Choose God or choose Baal." But in Matthew 4, 18, Jesus called individuals. And he says in Matthew 4, verse 18, "Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." And we can go on and on. Other illustrations we could use. In each case, people were faced with a responsibility to choose. Right choices are not always easy choices to make. They're not always immediately profitable either. However, every right choice, every wise decision brings blessings and benefits from a sovereign, omnipotent God. every time you choose right. Sometimes choosing right might seem hard. You might not see immediate dividends. You might not see immediate results from the right decision. You choose a wrong decision and you get immediate gratification. You get immediate satisfaction sometimes from a wrong decision. Sin is pleasurable for a season, right? You get immediate results there. And sometimes we make a right decision, you don't see the immediate result. And we live in a world of today, now. I want it now. And so we want the immediate gratification rather than waiting for God's best. But when you make a right decision and you make the choice, the will of a man is what we're talking about today. And if a godly husband or a godly man or a godly wife or a godly mother or a godly teenager or whoever will decide, I'm going to honor God and make right decisions. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, our theme verse for the year. Honor me and I will honor you, God says. It will happen. He promises. That would have been a great place to say amen right there, by the way. As I look back on my life, there has been minor and major choices that have caused me to move ahead or to get bogged down. If we're all honest, we could say the same thing. Remember when God called me to surrender my life to Him in ministry. I was in college. And I remember God calling me and I was fighting it. And I had other ideas in mind. Back in that day, I thought it was a wonderful, great job. Every teenager or young adult who's making some money thinks they're all that, a box of chocolates, right? And so I remember I had a job. It was paying my way through college, and it was a summer job. But it was working at a concrete block plant. And I remember they offered me to put me through some schooling to put me in a position, a higher position, just as a 21-year-old. And in my opinion, I was making more money than now. I'm looking back, I'm making more money than a 21-year-old should make. And then that position would have been a wonderful financial opportunity, 20 years old, wonderful financial opportunity. And I did for a little bit. I fought God on, I hadn't surrendered to the ministry yet. And I knew God was calling me, but I hadn't surrendered. And I'm thinking, but I could make some money here. I could drive this car, I could move out of my house and my mom's house and do my own thing. But God's calling me to preach and God's calling me to the ministry. And I fought that. And I went back to Bible college that year. And I went back, and it was in August, the end of August, where there was a great big huge tent out there in the middle of the campus. And somebody was preaching. And it was right then and there under the preaching of God's word that I surrendered my life to go to Bible college. And it wasn't until, to go to Bible college, to go to the ministry. And it wasn't until years later, that I looked back and I remembered, that was the summer that Satan was fighting me. That was the summer that Satan put in front of me, and God put in front of me. I had a choice. Go make some money. My wife's thinking, man, I wish you would have made some money. I hadn't met her yet. See, that's the other thing. I surrendered the ministry. And that's not God's call on everybody. I do think it should be something everybody should consider. Everybody should be willing to at least consider it. God closes that door. Great. We need some godly electricians. We need godly individuals. We need godly secretaries. We need godly nurses. I mean, there's a lost world out there that needs to hear about Jesus. And if God's people don't go there, they're not going to hear about Jesus. You just as much have opportunity to preach the gospel in your circle of influence as I do, to those who need to hear. But had I not surrendered, I never would have met Sandy Ellis. Because she surrendered too. We met at Bible college. And then the rest is history. 21 years now married. 21, 22. 22, babe. 22 years now married. Feels like it's just been a year. By so fast. Does that help? No. But through all that, there have been minor and major choices that have affected my life. The path God calls you to may not be easy. But down the road, you'll look back and you'll say, I'm so glad I chose this path. The story is told of a missionary society that contacted David Livingstone, great missionary. He was serving in the heart of Africa, and they wrote these words to him, Dear Dr. Livingstone, have you found a good road to where you are? If so, then we want to know how to send other men to join you. And Dr. Livingstone replied, If you have men who will only come, only if they know there is a good and easy road to follow, I don't want them. I want men who will come, even if there is no road at all. And the road that God puts you on may not always be easy, but if it's the road God puts you on, you're going to look back and you're going to say, I'm so glad I chose this path. It seems we often choose, though, roads that look good. We choose roads in our lives that look easy for us to walk on. God calls, and sometimes His directions are opposed to our plans. I look around this world amongst Christianity, and I look around churches, independent Baptist churches even, where the Christian ranks of men are often filled with weak-willed men who faint, who fail to lead and follow God's direction. And I'm just saying there are men and women and teenagers who are needed who blaze a trail following God. Go to Ezekiel chapter 22, please. Ezekiel chapter 22. Verse 30. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Maybe underline this. This is what God's looking for. Does he see this kind of person in you? Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Would you read this out loud with me? We'll just read the whole thing. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Ready to begin. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. That's sad right there. A tragic statement. There were many who could have stepped up, stand in the gap, make up the hedge. But people were not willing to make that choice. Our choice has got to be to follow God's directives so that our lives and those whom I'm accountable for might be able to see the right path, the right road. So go back to 1 Kings chapter 2, please. 1 Kings chapter 2. Back in our text where we started, David is on his deathbed and he addresses his son Solomon. And he asked Solomon to do a couple of things here. And I want to just spend the rest of the time this morning to talk about what those are. These are some steps to follow. Very practical. I told you, all the messages today are just going to be very practical messages. To follow if you and I are going to show ourselves to be godly. All right? And the call here in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, the call is pretty simple. Shortly before his death, David instructs Solomon, Be thou strong and show thyself a man. So, some practical steps here that will help us if we're going to show ourselves to be godly. Now, I want you to think about the need for this, first of all. There is a need for us to be godly. Mom, dad, there is a need in your family for you to be godly. Your kids need you to be godly. They need to see a godly example. They need to see godly influence. They need to see godliness in the home. They're not getting that at public school, right? Don't expect to send them to public school and think they're going to get influenced by Christianity there. Very few and far between, very rare. The only way that's going to happen is if there's a godly family that sends a godly young boy or girl to a public school and they happen to find each other in that hodgepodge of mess. But it's hard to find. It's very hard to find. How many went to public school? I don't recall much godliness when I was in public school. I ran into people who said, I believe in God. That's not necessarily godliness. The Bible says the devils believe in God. Just because somebody says that. And by the way, be careful about who you think is all of a sudden godly in the sports world just because they say, I want to give God the glory. That doesn't mean they're saved. Salvation is when you recognize your sin sends you to hell and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the person who's even called upon to be your Savior. Some of these people who say, I want to give God the glory, are people who just think that works saved them. They think they're saved because they got baptized. They think they're saved because they think the good works outweigh the bad work. That's not salvation. So let's be careful when somebody, you know, kisses a cross and goes like this. Doesn't mean that they're Christians. When they go home that night after their victory and they get drunk because, you know, they won a game. Right. I'm just saying that we don't see much godliness in our society today. I mean, it's possible, but let's just get a raise of hands. I'm not saying it's not possible. Let's get a raise of hands here of those of you who go to work and every day you expect that there's some people at work that, I mean, they're going to display just a beautiful picture of what a godly man or woman looks like. Yeah, I have to put my hand down too. Oh, I get it here at church. Yeah, amen. But I drive a bus on post. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. How many would say that you expect to show up at a Walmart? And I mean, you expect somebody to walk up to you and hand you a gospel tract and invite you to church. That happens often in your life. No. We're not getting, how many of you would say, I expect to turn on the TV and man, it's just going to, I'm going to be inundated with godly influence. No, it's not going to happen. You're not going to find it. See, the point is this, that we are the light. God, the Bible says Jesus is the light. And he also tells us in Matthew 4, be ye light and salt. Brother Terry Randolph preached on that last week. Be the light of the world. It's a dark world, so go out there and be the light. Don't expect it to come to you. You've got to be the light. You've got to be the godly influence. And it's imperative, it's important that we are that person. We make this decision to follow Christ, and that's point number one. Some steps to follow if you and I are going to show ourselves to be godly individuals. Number one, make a decision to follow Christ. Make a decision to follow Christ. Look at 1 Kings 2, 1 and 2. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon's son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. See, in this decision to follow Christ, you've got to be ready. He said, I go the way of all the earth. Solomon, I'm helping you get ready here because I'm leaving. I'm going the way of all the earth. And Solomon at that point was reminded of the certainty of death. Listen this morning, no one is exempt. As we know, our lives can end at any moment. At any moment. Unexpectedly. James 4:13, write this down. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. We can't assume that we're going to live long lives, but be ready. Be ready to, really, I ought to be living my life as though I could be meeting my Creator at any moment. I ought to be living my life as if this is the last day. He could return, amen, before I'm done preaching this message. According to Hebrews 9:27, it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. If you were to stand, I have a question. If you were to stand before God right now, if you were to stand before God in the next few moments, would you be ready? Do you know Jesus Christ is a personal Lord and Savior? The greatest tragedy is when people who knew about Christ were never truly saved the Bible way. Jesus made this sad statement in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Are you absolutely sure if death were to come today, being prepared for eternity is more than having religion, giving to a Christian cause, or serving in some capacity, or showing up on church on a Sunday morning. There's nothing you can do to be sure you are going to heaven except to understand Jesus died on the cross for your sins and He rose again. And if you'll put your faith and trust on Him and call upon Him as your personal Lord and Savior, He'll save you. But if you've been counting on your good works to get you to heaven, the Bible does not teach that salvation. Nowhere in the Bible you're going to find the Bible says, if you're a good person, you'll make it. It doesn't teach that. It's not there. The Bible does not say, if you get baptized, you'll go to heaven. It's not there. Good works are good. Baptism's good. You know, it's called believer's baptism. You get saved first and then you get baptized. But it doesn't save you. But John 1:12 says this, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And if there is any doubt regarding your eternal destiny, I want to encourage you, you can look to Jesus Christ this morning. Come to Him, call upon Him to save you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So be ready. Then look at this. Look at verse 2 of our text. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2. Be thou strong. So I go all the way of all the earth. Be ready. And then be thou strong. Be thou strong. We think of the word strong. We think of physical strength. How many of you once had physical strength that you no longer have? Yeah. How many would desire to have that physical strength back? Yeah, absolutely. We think of physical strength. We think of a bodybuilding program. We think of getting in shape, something like that. But the strength of a Christian, the strength a Christian needs is a spiritual strength. And you might become physically frail, but a man can be physically strong but spiritually frail. And we are challenged to be strong spiritually. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 2:1 says. Go to 1 Timothy 4:8, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. This is a great verse, especially for young men and women, and it's important here to understand this comparison that Paul is trying to make. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 says this, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Now he's saying there's a little profit there. He is saying that, I mean, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost, okay? So don't get me wrong. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. He wants you to take care of His temple, right? If you can. All right? But he says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Paul compares developing physical strength to pursuing spiritual strength. He does a comparison here regarding that. And he's saying we need to choose to pursue spiritual strength. How do we get spiritual strength? What are some things that I can do to strengthen myself spiritually? I mean, we can talk about some things we can do to strengthen ourselves physically. All right, we can talk about some things to avoid, eating habits, and some things we should eat. We can talk about certain exercises we can do, and a degree of faithfulness there, and staying steady in that. But if we're going to strengthen ourselves spiritually, then we're going to have to exercise ourselves in prayer, in Bible reading, in studying, and daily godly living. So he says there to be ready in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2. He says, be strong. And then the last part of 1 Kings chapter 2, he says, show thyself a man. Show thyself a man. Today's society views real men as aggressive and muscular in appearance, macho in disposition. But God sees real men quite differently. Would you go to Micah 6, verse 8? We're almost done. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Look at Micah, please. Verse 8 says this. Here's what God thinks of as a real man. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God sees real men quite differently than the world sees real men. Godly Christian men need God's strength of character, a humble spirit, so the world sees they are different. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, listen to these words, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Now look at 1 Kings chapter 2 and look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Back in our text. My brother used to tell me all the time, man up. Man up. I knew what he meant when he said that. He was saying to me, quit crying. Because I did that a lot. He was saying to me, quit whining. I went and told on him to mom. When he would say man up, he was saying, quit being a tattletale. There were several things he probably meant, but he was basically saying toughen up. But when God tells us through the inspired word of God to man up or show thyself a man, what is God saying in this? Saying be ready, life is short. He's saying be strong, you're going to face difficulties. He's saying be a man, and godly. When God says be a man, what does he mean by that? We look at 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 3, please, and let's just see what God has to say. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Here we go. To walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God. If you were to be asked, if God were to show up, oh, here he is, and he were to ask you, are you keeping my charge? What would your answer be? Don't answer out loud. What would your answer be? What would you say? Are you keeping the charge of the Lord your God? Anyone who has served in the military, and we are in a military town, knows full well that when a command is given, the immediate response should be, yes, sir, aye, sir. Some, if there's a close relationship between the officer and the enlisted, they might say something like, too easy. That's a common statement, too easy. What would you say, Charles? Too easy. Too easy. Why is it then, and not just military, in many other areas, employer, employee, why is it that so many men, women, who would immediately obey the command of an earthly authority, would disobey the command of a heavenly authority? How quickly, Brother Charles, since you're in here, or Brother David, you served in the Army how many years, Brother David? 20 years. How quickly, how promptly was the command expected to be carried out? Immediately. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10 says, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. The Lord calls us to follow him in obedience. The question is this, do we listen and do we obey? Look at verse 3. He says to walk in his ways. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3. Keep the charge, walk in his ways. Walk in his ways. We talked about walking with God this morning in the Sunday school hour. And somebody said, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. We are often afraid that following God will lead us to something that we won't enjoy or something we can't handle. But God knows you and God is directing you and he knows all about you. And God, listen, God will only lead you in ways that are for your good. Do you believe that this morning? God will only lead you in ways that are for your good, for his glory. And being obedient to God brings you to comprehend that truth, brings you to realize that what you're doing is good. Look at verse 3. We're hurrying through this. Walk in his ways. Keep his statutes. Keep his word. That means keep his word. Keep his commandments. Keep his judgments. Keep his testimonies. It goes on. As it is written in the law of Moses. You might say that trying to obey all these things is difficult. But pastor, it's hard to do all this. But Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. If it's hard, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I'm saying this, yes, it's hard for us in our own power and our own strength to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish. But when we rest in his strength, he can accomplish it through you. And then look at verse 3. Experience the results. So what results? That thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Thou mayest prosper. I mean, say amen if you want God's blessing on your life. Amen. Amen. Blessings can only follow when we make choices to honor God. That's when blessings come. We read the word prosper here. It's a good word, right? Prosper. We like things to prosper. You know, there's only one place in the Bible the word success is found. We like success. Success is a good word. Only one place it's found, and that's in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, or obey, to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I want success. But the only way I'm going to find it is if this is most important to me and I follow this word and I obey his word. No matter where we look for blessings, we will only find them by following God's word. So David was leaving behind a legacy for Solomon. And I have a question. What will you leave behind when you leave this world? If you left this world right now, if you were to die right now, what do you leave behind? I left a 401k, a 403b for my kids. I left them in my will. You know, I was known to be a hard worker and a good person. I smiled a lot. You know, if you could make up your own epitaph, what would it say? Many people leave a substantial amount of stuff, but they don't leave any spiritual legacy at all. Solomon's spiritual legacy depended on his following God's word. What are you going to leave behind for your family and others that you have influenced? David established a great legacy for Solomon. I want to establish, as a dad, that legacy. I want to be somebody my kids can look up to and say that I transferred from my life to theirs an importance of following God and his word. And I might not leave them a bunch of other things, although I do think there's some importance in that. I'm not belittling those things, but if I leave them money and I don't leave them a spiritual heritage, I've left them nothing. Nothing. David's greatest legacy is found in Acts 13:22. It says, and when he had removed him, this is in the New Testament now, thousands of years after David, And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. God said this, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. It was God's conclusion that David was a man after God's heart. The choices you make in life and the decisions that you that follow, they come from your own will. So the question is this, will you show yourself a man who is following after the living God? Listen, will you show yourself a woman who is following after God? Will you show yourself a teenager who is following after God? The choice is yours. Talk about the walk of a man this morning and then the will of a man. This is your choice. Will you follow God? Every head bowed, every eye closed at this time. As the pianist comes, I don't know who the Lord spoke to. We did talk about salvation for a little bit there right at the beginning. Maybe somebody here would say, I don't know for sure if I'm saved, if I'm going to heaven when I die. I can't say for sure that if the Lord were to return. First point was be ready. Be ready. Are you ready? David told Solomon, I go the way of all the earth. I'm leaving. I'm dying. I'm on my deathbed. Are you ready?